Welcome back here with Dave and Rob on 770 CHQR in More Than Money. You've had some interesting conversations this week, and a theme has sort of emerged. You know, in preparation for this show, what we often do is just talk about what conversations we've had and look for the similarities and where the overlaps are. Yeah. And there were some common elements to some conversations you've been having. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Yeah, and it's not just about volatile markets.
Right.
Right. It's not just about the stock market, the bond market. It's about your total wealth.
Right.
And that can include other asset classes, including real estate. So that has been the biggest point of conversation is, I have this portfolio, I have real estate, it may be investment, it may be land, it may be something else. Is now a good time to sell that real estate because the stock market has had a correction, right?
Yeah. Or interest rates are going up and worried about what that might do, right?
So is it a time to cash in on that asset class and move to something liquid, something different? So that's been the major points of conversation.
You know, and when we were chatting about that, what was interesting is the conversations you were having, and I've had some as well, about real estate and the impact of rising interest rates on the real estate market, locally, nationally, whatever it might be. But the conversation that you and I had broadened out pretty quickly, and what we discovered in the conversations is people were thinking in a very siloed way.
Yeah.
Right? So when you said the phrase total wealth, I'm not sure that resonates with people. But people typically think in terms of silos. I've got my principal residence, which is different than, say, a rental property I've got.
Right.
Which is different than a small business I own, which is different than the portfolio of stocks and bonds that I own. And so we think in terms of these silos instead of saying, hey, here's all of the wealth that we have as a family, and where are we exposed, right? And managing those risks. And so one of the things in some of the conversations I know you had with people were talking about, well, what's your real estate exposure? Mm-hmm. Right? How much of your total wealth is tied up in real estate, and what type of real estate is it? Right? And so trying to bring some context to what that asset class represents as a total wealth component. Because the question is often anchored in, and I want your opinion on this, when people ask us about a real estate, a real estate investment or a stock, a bond, whatever it might be, there's kind of there's an emotional connection to that one aspect of it.
Yep.
Right? And so we tend to get drawn in as people, we tend to get drawn into that one area and then it become very myopically focused on that and we forget about everything else.
Yep.
Right? And so I thought it was an interesting conversation to have and that we should maybe expand on what total wealth actually means. So walk me through this idea, the conversation, right? Obviously you're not going to share anybody's name here, but when we get this myopic question about should I sell my real estate, it's a bigger conversation to have.
It is, and it's an emotional one normally, where, okay, something's done well, I need to get out of it, that's it, right? And that can obviously evolve into the stock market, which we'll get into in a portfolio, we'll get into that. But I've actually had the conversation on the other side of it, is it a good time to buy real estate for investment purposes?
Right.
Because the rental market may become strong with rising interest rates.
Right.
So people are looking at it differently.
Right. Oh, no, for sure. Absolutely.
Maybe as an income.
Yep.
Source.
Yep. The other side is if some are thinking of selling, others are thinking of piling in because it's done really well. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you get the opposite effect. Right.
Yeah.
And that can happen in the real estate, stock, bond market. It doesn't really matter.
But we were talking about that before, too, on the emotional factors of that. Right. We have, my take is we have less timing emotion on real estate.
Right? Why is that, do you think?
Oh, many factors.
And I think it's not priced to market every day.
Yeah. Yep.
So we talked earlier in the show about this idea of price discovery and when a stock drops by 25% and it comes back by 10% the next day, right?
In your face.
It's crazy, yeah. Right? Real estate isn't in your face. What I'm also very interested in, and again, we're talking silos, is when people forget. So if stocks and bonds are falling, or let's say stocks are falling because the economy is contracting or going to recession, it's interesting to me that the same thought process is not reflected in the real estate market,
right?
Right? It's interesting that people get trapped in this idea. It's thinking the economy can be bad, but their house can maintain its value, right? Now, we have to live somewhere, right? I get the idea of a principal residence and so on and so forth, but I'm just speaking to the the sort of the behavioral finance dynamics that, that take place when we think in terms of silos, right? And I think that the takeaway from this this section in the conversations that we've had, and I'm privy to some of the conversations you've had with people around this question, is to think more broadly based. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do we own? What is our total wealth picture? And that's a, often a financial planning example, right? And I'm not saying real estate's good or bad. I'm not saying stocks are good or bad. What I'm saying is that there should be a balance of something, right? And yep. if you're overweight real estate, if you're overweight stocks, if you're overweight bonds, whatever the case may be, it's important just to be able to identify where your wealth is, where it's exposed, what the risks and what the opportunities right. of those are across the whole spectrum.
And not just financial.
Right.
Right.
Not just financial. That's right.
What's making you feel comfortable, what your carrying costs are, and what your, oh, what if it's a rental property, mm-hmm. right? What the time, mm-hmm. how much time you're going to spend dealing with it.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit here because, and we're running short on time, so I wanted to address this. We've also had conversations this week about people wanting to sell into the recent rally. Mm-hmm. Should we be getting out now? And it's an interesting question. They wanted to sell at the lows. They want to sell on the bumps up. It speaks to this emotion again. And I'm going to go back to this idea of that we constantly talk about structure in discipline. You know, is this, the question we're getting, is this a, just a dead cat bounce in a bear market? Is it the forming of a bottom and it's a recovery? And the answer is we don't know, right? We'll only know, history will tell us which one of those things it is. We don't know. Now that might be unsettling for some people to hear. But the fact is, it brings us back to the idea of structure and discipline. And these are gut check moments always when you get lots of volatility, way more fun on the upside than it is on the right. downside. But the point is, is your total wealth positioned in a way that supports your family's goals and objectives, mm-hmm. right? And so that's the structure piece. The discipline piece. I'll give you a good example of relative trades. So when... what's been working well this year? Well, commodities. Take oil, right? Something we're well aware of in this town. Oil prices going through the roof. You've got equities that are attached to oil and gas going through the roof. Some people want to pile more in, mm-hmm. okay? Which could increase your exposure there, right? Now we got a structure and potential structure and discipline problem because you might be changing your strategy, okay? If there's nothing wrong with the strategy, and this is just recent volatility, then the discipline should be trimming the profits that you make in those outperforming areas and redirecting those into the underperforming areas, because something like technology this week has exploded relative to oil and gas. And so profits that you take from those performing right. assets and you pump into the underperforming assets on that recovery, you get a bigger kick. And so I just want to reiterate, the structure and discipline remains consistent. Doesn't matter the market, but the goals and objectives have to match what your wealth strategies are. And if you do that and you maintain structure and discipline through time, you're going to be okay. Not discounting the anxiety we can feel when things bounce around, right? But I think that's a fair statement.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, listen, we're going to have to put all that into English at some point, and we can probably try to do that at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, let's do that Tuesday, June 21st at 7 p.m. This will be live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
On behalf of Rob and myself, Dave, I want to thank you for joining us for another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.